Director Todd?
Here.
Director Yo?
Here.
Director Lynn?
Here.
You have a problem with your committee.
All right, do we have any item received too late to be agendized?
There are none.
Any visitor participation? None. Consent calendar?
Move the consent items.
I second.
On favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion carry. Next, we have matters for consideration. Item 6.
Director Todd, did you vote yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Three. I just want to make sure.
Okay. Aye. Yes.
Item 6, Randy.
Yes. So within your packet, you have a draft of the CAFR, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. And as part of that, the auditors have completed their review of the district. And with that, we have Cassie Rademacher with White Nelson Deal Evans. She's our partner in charge, and she's here to talk about the audit and the process that they went through and the results.
Hi.
Hi, good to see you.
Hi, good to see you. Okay, so I'm going to go over the opinion first for the audit. So in the opinion, we state that we have audited the financial statements of the district for the year ended June 30th, 2019. We state that management is responsible for the fair presentation of those financial statements in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. So our responsibility as the auditors is to give you an opinion on those financial statements. So we performed our audit in accordance with generally accepted auditing standards and governmental auditing standards. And we do believe that we have gathered sufficient evidence for our opinion. So on the second page of your opinion, we state that we found the financial statements to be fairly presented in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. So this is an unmodified opinion. It used to be called an unqualified opinion. It's also referred to as a clean opinion. So it's as good as you can get. We also mentioned that there is some prior year comparative information in the financial statements. That's from the prior year, and so we reference those financial statements. Your financial statements also contain some other information, like the statistical section and the introductory section. So we do not give an opinion on that information in accordance with government auditing standards. So on the last page of the opinion, we refer to our government auditing standards letter, which I'll go over next. So in our government auditing standards letter, we just note that we reviewed your internal controls for the purposes of the financial statement audit and that we noted no material weaknesses. And so the last communication I'll go over is the communication to you, to those charged with governance. So in that communication, we note that the district's significant financial policies are disclosed in note 1 to the financial statements. We also disclose any significant estimates that are included in those financial statements, and we did review those estimates and we found them to be reasonable. We also note in that communication that we had no difficulties in performing our audit. Due to our audit test work, we had no audit adjustments. We had no disagreements with management, and we note at the very end that we are not aware of management's consultation with any other accounting firms regarding any accounting policies or transactions. So, brief presentation. Are there any questions?
It sounds too good. You're doing a great job.
I think that's a good report, and thank you so much. Next item.
Actually, we have to take a vote, right?
Do you have any? Oh, we have to take a vote. So may I have a motion? Receive and file.
Yeah, I move the recommendation.
A second.
So why don't we call the roll call?
Director Todd.
Yes.
Director Yo.
Yes.
Director Nguyen.
Yes.
That motion carries with 3 yes votes.
Thank you. Next item. District has been respondent and board member compensation policies.
John Kennedy will lead the discussion on this item.
Yeah, I'll bring it up on the screen, and here's hard copies also.
And it is contained in the board packet as well.
So this was a bit of house cleaning. There's two policies that we wanted to make some minor changes to. One was for types of meetings that the board can get reimbursed for. So we last did this in 2006. So we have the 2006 policy, and in red it shows the types of changes that we're recommending. I'll just go through what I think are the major changes, but stop me if you see something or if you have a question. So these are all the meetings that you can be reimbursed for, but we do have up here, like under section one, that it needs to be at the request or approval of the board of directors, the board president, or general manager. And then we list all the meetings of the board of directors, standing committees, meetings of non-standing committees. These are like ad hoc committee, when we establish an ad hoc committee for some special project.
So ad hoc, that board member would be reimbursed.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We made it clear that if you're traveling, you can get a per diem before or after. Like if you're traveling one day to get to some conference, the travel day also would count to be reimbursed. Down here, we made it clear that if you call.
So basically, with a new update, we don't need an approval from the president? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, well, if the board approves it, or the board approves it in the budget, or the board president or the general manager approves it. So,
right. So you can be good.
So they have to approve in advance?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're appointed to a committee,
right,
it's been approved. If you want to go to a conference, mm-hmm, you just want to, you know, send an email to Vince or Mike and say, yeah, I want to go to this conference.
The or approval language is meant to say, if it's just at the request, that means they have to ask you to do it. But if you want to do it and you ask and you get approved, you can also do it.
Okay.
So that means if meetings of committee attendance, we're taking out attendance, what does that mean? That means if we go to the meeting and we're not on the committee, then no?
No, if you go and there was pre-approval, then you're good.
But just a regular meeting, I think what Director Nguyen is asking, like on A.
Oh, no, on B.
Oh, no, B.
On
or B.
B. Like so, water issue. If you're not on the water committee issue and you go, then what happens?
But you are an alternate, so you're covered. You're listed as an alternate.
Oh, so yeah. All the board members either is on the committee or an alternate on the committee.
Yes.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah. You get paid, right? Even if an alternate, you get paid.
Yes. Yes.
Even if all five members are there and you as an alternate are there, you would be eligible for a meeting.
A meeting. Okay.
Yeah, so that's at the request of the board because you've been placed on that committee as an alternate.
So the rule is still the same?
Pretty much, yeah. Yes. You know, we made it clear, if you call, like a conference call into a meeting, we made it clear that's also reimbursable. There was some question about that.
Yeah, the D is kind of vague. It could be something that I just call Mike about some district affairs, which I do from time to time,
mm-hmm,
but I wouldn't consider that as a meeting.
Yeah.
You know, if I receive an email from Jeremy about something and I'm unclear, and I want to talk to Mike first, I give him a call. I wouldn't consider that as a meeting.
I think Director,
that falls under that D, right?
I think where D comes in, Director Yeo, is if, say, a director's been on vacation and they wanted to get an update as to what had happened while they were on vacation.
I see.
If they were to call me and we were able to converse and give that director an update, that could be considered a meeting under these guidelines.
Something that's more substantive than.
But we don't have to.
Just a hello.
By any.
Well, that's really 30 bucks.
The general manager would have okay that.
Okay.
Yeah, and we'll see in there as Jeremy just mumbled that
like mumbled
that phone conversation would have to be at least 30 minutes. So it's a rather substantive
discussion yes,
between general manager and board member.
Okay.
So would that 30-minute language be in there?
Well, it's down, further
it's
down.
It's in your
oh,
further
okay,
down.
Okay.
We're
good.
Jumping ahead.
Yeah.
Make sure you talk all about water.
Talk about water for 30 minutes.
Yep. It'll be the business of the district. If you're talking about sports teams, right. Probably not.
Right. You're talking about rain, making rain, rain dance.
All right. Yeah. And there again, because... good morning, Director Brandt.
Good morning.
We're just going over the changes in board policies, and we're talking about... Director Yale asked about phone-in meetings and what's the criteria.
That's a dangerous one.
My example was...
Don't give me any ideas.
If a director were away for a certain period of time and wanted to get an update with the general manager, if they were to call, conversation lasts about a half an hour or at least 30 minutes, to be technically correct, that más o menos, that would qualify as a meeting. Qualify as a meeting.
Does that have to be the general manager? Because sometimes it's John Kennedy and some very important subject.
But I think we have to go through Mike.
You know, that would be at the approval of the general manager, according to the criteria.
General manager is the one who decides. Is that a meeting or not?
Okay. Right.
Yes. Because actually, on your expense accounts, they get signed by both the board president and the general manager.
Right.
So if someone were to put down that they had a conference call or a call with either myself or any other member of staff, if it were me, of course, I would know that because I do make a notation on my calendar of these things. Or if it was for, say, John Kennedy, then I might check with John and say, hey, John, did you have a discussion with Director Wynn on this date? And if he were to confirm that, then I would sign off on the expense report.
Yeah, that's why the language general manager designee is in there, to capture exactly those messages.
Capture staff, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We made it clear that you could be having a meeting with a community group or an individual in the community.
That could count as a meeting?
As a meeting, yes. Yeah. So that was added.
But there again, just follow up on that, John. It would be helpful if a director would send me an email letting me know that, hey, I met with this certain individual, we discussed these items, and then I have a record of it.
Yes.
And when I sign off on
this. May I ask you, like, the location of the meeting doesn't need to be at the OC?
No.
WB, right?
Correct.
Anywhere.
Okay.
I have a question. Is it clarify anywhere in there for Section F? Can we clarify by saying related to district's business?
This F?
Sure. Is it G?
Yeah,
the one below. Because we added language, or with community groups or individuals. Oh, on issues. I'm sorry. Yeah. So it's not just like coffee with Mayor of Wynn Park. And okay. Good.
Unless you were talking about water issues, if you were informing them about what the district is doing and. And what if we just set our rates or our pumping, and it was information about district business, then that would qualify.
And would that be something that a director would have to get the prior okay from the board president?
I think we should. Oh, that's or to the manager only. Right?
That's what the policy is, either the board manager. President or the general manager.
Okay.
All the manager.
But like I said, even if I think even if the meeting were held and you sent a note and it mentioned I met with the mayor of Buena Park and we discussed district issues, I would certainly reply, you know, that's fine, great, something affirmative.
Okay,
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Do we have defined what general manager designee is? Is that a member of the executive staff? Is that a matter of...
Yeah, normally when I'm out of the office, I designate John as the one who's in charge during my absence. So that would be my designee. But I would always, if I'm not here, John would be my designee.
Because whenever I had a conversation with a member of staff, and it ends up going on my report. I've usually talked or texted with you first.
Yes, you have.
To give you advance notice, because I'm not going to report anything, or with the intent of reporting, having a meeting with the intent of reporting anything without consulting you first.
Yes.
Because it just won't pass legal muster.
Exactly right. Okay. Yes. Right. Thank you. Yes.
We made it clear meetings with producers within your division is, you know, fine and acceptable. We said directors may provide brief reports on meetings. This is in regard to AB 1234 that came out many years ago, and it was a very confusing law. Joel wrote us a memo saying if you're at a meeting and there's six or more board members at that meeting, then you need to give a report on the meeting.
So you need to report at the board meeting, at the regular board meeting.
Okay. Yes.
Most agencies do the opposite.
If there are a majority of the board...
If there's a majority of board members...
I see.
...that you need, then need to report on it.
Yes.
What was the with producers in...
within your division.
Where is that again?
Oh, yeah. Further up. Meetings with producers.
Okay. May I suggest a revision that only apply to the elected members of the board? Like, for instance, my producer is Anaheim. His producer is Santa Ana, Fullerton.
I would never
report a conversation or a meeting with Michael Moore or Dooku. But I could see how it could be construed that way to be allowable, and that would just get me in trouble. That would just get me or whoever else succeeded me or wherever in trouble, because there are staff as council members.
Oh, I see.
It could be a way to open up double dipping. So I throw that out there.
Yeah, something to think about. I think for us it's unique, those of us who are appointed, because we have conversations with those staff. Although, you know, we speak with them on city issues, which we probably wouldn't have to, obviously wouldn't disclose nor list. But yeah, separating when it's, you know, board business. But yeah, it could get confusing.
It could get confusing.
So look, I think we give that some thought.
Yeah, anyway, just a suggestion.
Yeah. What do you think, General Capso?
I think you'd run into more of a problem if you were claiming it as a per diem for both, right? So if you had the same conversation with the public works director and you claimed it as city business, then also...
There is no claim as city business.
Right. So for us, we don't
have that at the city.
So there's no per diem.
We don't have it.
No.
Okay. So that's where I think Jordan's point is relevant, where it's almost in our stipend, it's presumed we're going to have these conversations,
right.
and then we're receiving a stipend there that's broad and sort of encompasses those conversations with staff, and then we would...
It's like, well, of course you're having that meeting, you're that conversation with Anaheim staff. You're the council member who's appointed to the board. Why are you claiming it as... Yeah, anyway.
If we added elected before directors...
Yeah, I think that would address this concern.
Because the three cities are considered appointees.
Yeah, I think it's the voice of OCR.
Right.
So
I think,
are we going to revise that to be elected?
Can you do that now, John?
Can you read it again?
Or is...
Yeah, let's clarify that by putting the Jordan Bramman amendment.
Yeah. Gladly. They can report that.
Yeah, well, I'll clean this up, but...
All right.
Put elected in.
That's better.
Yeah, okay.
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 Does that... meet with your approval, Director Sarmiento?
Yeah, I think it's fine. I think it's going, you know, it's being very, very cautious, and I think for us, you know, I think the whole purpose of revising this is because the scrutiny is just higher now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, especially because of what we've seen especially other water agencies. Look, I think we now, where we, all of us, I think, acted in good faith, and I think we're going to continue to. Unfortunately, we just have to document everything.
And I really can't. I think the clarification is good. I can't remember any cases off the top of my head where any of the appointees have claimed meeting with a staff member. But I think that this does help.
I see. Okay. So then, so we have the AB 1234 compliance that I mentioned. If you're in a meeting with six or more directors, then you're supposed to report back.
But only if one person report for the whole group. That's what we cover, right?
I think if one person reported and listed everyone who was there,
right? Okay.
Right.
That'd probably.
And that could happen at maybe say an AQUA meeting, where we have six directors attending it.
I think that's
there
true.
There would have to be a report out at the next board, a verbal report out at
like
the next
convention,
board.
Like water convention, something like that?
It's actually some poor drafting within AB 1234 itself. I'm not sure that's what they intended, but when you look at the definition of meeting, I think it's a supportable conclusion.
But
so yeah, it would apply.
Only one board member could able to do for the whole.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Usually the ones that I've attended along with other board members. I press the button and want to speak. Somebody else would say, you know, report out and mention that I was in a meeting.
All right.
And this doesn't happen very often, where there's six members that are at the same meeting or conference. But we wanted to make sure that we were compliant with the law.
And then the last item is new, but we're saying all meetings, and this would include phone calls, along with any preparation time prior to the meeting, should exceed 30 minutes to receive compensation.
As an example, if this meeting were to adjourn right now, we'd be 23 minutes into the meeting. But we do acknowledge that there is some preparation that a director has to do prior to a meeting. So as long as, and it would be reasonable to assume that they spent more than 7 minutes preparing for the meeting, so that would qualify as a meeting. Where we could run into trouble is if we had a very quick meeting.
Like a three-minute meeting?
Like a three-minute
meeting. But that is a meeting that we... We don't have an agenda, right? That's a meeting that we don't have agenda. So,
well, we're talking about committee meetings. We're talking about any meeting.
I see.
So really any meeting.
Even this meeting. But because of that, all the time that we have to prepare, more than 30 minutes, is that what you mean?
The preparation, how much an individual director chooses to prepare, that's up to the individual director. But if the combination of your preparation time plus the time spent in the meeting is more than 30 minutes, you would meet the requirements of the policy.
Yes.
So just a quick question on the, because I know that we were speaking about this. There are some meetings that are brief because the subject matter
is
pretty simple. But there is some advanced preparation time. Do we, now on the reportable expense reporter on the documents, is there a separate column for that?
There's not a requirement for it.
So it's just sort of inherent in the time that we're going to have in the meeting.
The board could require that. I mean, this is the board's policy that complies with the requirements of AB 1234 to have a policy in order to be able to get reimbursements. The board could do that, but you're not required to.
So going over the materials, I mean, you know, if we're looking at the materials in preparation for a LEDGE comp or a comm-LEDGE meeting, you know, some of it is pretty extensive when you're going through this, you know, the reports provided by three consultants.
Sure.
And you're reviewing those, you're reviewing the bills. Easily, that's about at least half an hour, right, just to peruse them, make sure you're familiar with the material. Mm-hmm. So that, I guess, is embedded in that report. So
I would just say it's a reasonableness standard, right? So if what you're really worried about is, you know, if it's going to be the director who, in good faith, says, I spent 30 minutes, including... And so, you know, they'll have to make that determination.
It's a moot point if the meeting lasts more than 30 minutes. Right. This would only apply if a meeting were to last less than 30 minutes. I think that it probably would be incumbent upon the individual director, if they were to claim that as a meeting, to have made up either his or her mind as to how much preparation time. Let's say it was a 20-minute meeting. And someone put put down, well, I prepared more than 10 minutes, so they list it as a meeting. If they don't feel they put 10 minutes worth of time, then they wouldn't list the meeting. I think what this is, it's protection against, there was particularly one water district recently within the last 6 months that was kind of called out for having short meetings and for directors taking those meetings. And it was in the news and everything else, and there wasn't any policy that they had adopted as to, and some of the directors didn't claim those meetings because they were so short. And so this just helps protect us, I think, that but if...
Will that meeting be agendized in advance?
Yes.
So it's on agenda.
Well, wait, though, because we're saying all meetings...
Phone calls as well.
It could be, so the scenario that Director Yeo gave before, he calls you.
Right.
You talk for 10 minutes. That would not be, unless there was 20 minutes of additional preparation prior to that, that would not be a reimbursable meeting. You talk for 31 minutes. It would be.
Keep prepared.
It's meant, I think it goes to Mike's point before, about making sure it's a substantive discussion of agency business.
So these are all not, including non-agendized matters, these are meetings and...
That's where that item right there is going to be a significant
catch-all, right?
Yes, it is.
So that means we're still on the honor system.
If the meeting is less than a half an hour, and you claim the meeting, then if someone were to question, why did you claim this meeting that lasted 15 minutes as a meeting if your policy says you can only claim it if it's 30, then you'd be able to say, I spent at least 15 minutes preparing, preparatory time.
I see.
Can you give me an example? So kind of like that time when the New Year Daily wanted an interview, I talked to John for 10 minutes, and then John sent me documents, and I read that for like probably 5-10 minutes. Then I talked to the New Year people for about another 5 minutes, and then we had the interview, and then he came here for about half an hour, 30, you know, yeah, some yeah. kind of minutes. So like that. One issue combined like
yeah.
that. Yeah. That would be I mean, it's a reasonable standard, really.
Yeah.
If reasonably you spent 30 minutes on it, you'd meet the policy. All right.
So that's good. That's there to protect the district and also the board of directors. And it will be up to the individual board members to justify
yes.
if some scenarios come up.
Yep, right. Okay. I'll jump to the other policy. We're all good here. Okay.
Good work.
Good work.
Yeah.
So then the expense reimbursement policy, we're recommending a few changes. The first is there's a maximum per diem allowance of $800 per day, and we're putting in, unless a greater amount is approved by the board president or GM due to special circumstances. We're thinking trips to Washington, D.C., where these trips can get very expensive. The staying in a hotel there can be really expensive.
So this only applies to meals, lodging, and incidental expenses. Airfare is separate outside of that.
Everything together.
Everything together, right, yeah. for that day. So if you took Uber for your meals, for your hotel, it can't. The policy says that it cannot exceed $800 a day. Now, as John said, sometimes visits to Washington, D.C. can be, the lodging can be very expensive. And I think we just saw that on our last trip. Sunday night was like $400 a night. Monday was $500.
Oh, wow.
Tuesday was
$600. Really?
That was the lowest hotel rate. I mean, you know, by the time you added them all together, the average. But you could be pushing that limit, although you shouldn't, you know, $200 worth of expenses as far as meals and everything else is, you know, probably plenty. But if there is a unique situation, then we have the out unless it's approved by the board president or general manager due to special circumstances.
Let's see. You know, we added, you know, Uber and Lyft, are reimbursable expenses, including reasonable tips and applicable taxes. We broke out a separate category for rental car, making it clear rental car, you know, that actual cost of the rental car plus gasoline and any necessary insurance. We're also saying, say if you wanted to take a rental car to Monterey instead of flying, that you would not be reimbursed more than the cost of a plane ticket, basically.
Oh,
because you could have flown cheaper with a plane,
right,
but you decided to drive, so you'd only get reimbursed the plane ticket fare.
But trust me, renting a car and driving to Monterey is cheaper than
So it's more expensive than a round trip ticket to Tokyo.
Good luck driving to Tokyo.
For hotel lodging, we're saying only for events outside of Orange County, unless approved by the board president or general manager. So you need to be outside of Orange County to get reimbursed for a hotel.
So if you're attending a conference at the Disneyland Hotel, we wouldn't be expected to pay if you wanted to stay at the Disneyland
Hotel. Right.
You'd have to commute from home.
Right. These other things are just minor.
It looks like the last sentence is stricken. The 75-mile rule, is it?
That is stricken.
That was never part of the original policy.
Oh, okay.
Was it, John?
No.
For some reason, on our track changes.
So if there is an event.
We put it in, then we took it out.
If there is an event at LA Live, which was only 25 miles from county line, and one can elect to stay there, or?
That's what it says.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess it's reasonable because the traffic is such.
and that was kind of our thought, okay. Director Yeo. And if you're driving from the other side of the county, it's more than 25 miles. It's probably
I know
45
the drive,
or 50 miles plus.
I'd say it's at the Garden Grove High.
It's just a meeting at Disney Hotel.
And then the last few things are minor. For meals, making it clear, meals are reimbursable if you need, you know, to meet over lunch to discuss district business. That would be fine. So those are the major changes. Yeah.
What's up with that 20% tip thing?
That's the Kathy Green amendment. She likes to be generous.
Okay.
Maybe we should say up to.
Yeah, not required. So this will, the committee's okay, well, this will go to the board next month. Yes.
See you later.
Good work.
You need a motion to approve?
Yes.
So this is the recommendation.
Second.
All right. So can we take a roll call vote?
Director Topp?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Nguyen?
Yes.
Director Brandon?
Aye.
Director Sarmiento?
Yes.
That motion carries with 5 yes votes.
Thank you. Next item, long-term debt refunding opportunities.
So thank you. We have some opportunities here to refund some debt that we'd like to bring to the committee. So long-term interest rates are pretty much at historic lows. Municipal market data called MMD, it's a high-grade municipal bond index, which the district's debt has historically tracked pretty closely to. So the five-year MMD is at 1.23%. And it has been lower over the last 15 years, about a third of the time. So, but the 10-year MMD at 1.4%, has only been lower 1.6% of the time over the last 15 years. So pretty low from a historical standpoint. And then the 30-year MMD has been lower about 2% of the time, excuse me, about 1% of the time over the last 15 years at 1.98%. So rates are pretty low right now and have dropped. Here's a chart showing the 10-year and the 30-year treasury, and this is over the last 9 years. The blue line there is the 10-year treasury, and it's at 1.7%, and the 30-year is at 2.14%. And this is just to show that from a historical standpoint, rates are really low. Although you can see there's quite a bit of volatility over the last 9 years. So there's a little sense of urgency here to try to take advantage of this low rate environment to the benefit of the district. So one of the opportunities we're looking at is a taxable refunding of the 2013 A debt. The district is currently paying an average of about 5% coupon on this outstanding debt, $53 million. And the 2013 A bonds are not currently callable with tax-exempt bonds until about 4 years from now, August 15th, 2023. But we can do an advance refunding with taxable bonds today to take advantage of this opportunity. A taxable refunding would produce cash flow savings of about $7.2 million, or in today's dollars, that's about $6.2 million based upon rates as of September 26th. And the other opportunity, which is kind of unique, is a refunding of the state revolving fund loan. So in 2011, the district entered into a state revolving fund loan for the final expansion project, $137.4 million. The terms of the loan, 20 years at 2.6%. The current balance on that loan is $128.4 million. So we've made three payments on this loan, 20 payments. The payments started in January 2017. Like I said, we've made three payments to date. And this loan can be prepaid at any time in full with tax-exempt bonds. A tax-exempt refunding of the SRF loan for the initial expansion would save the district about $5.9 million cash flow. And in today's dollars, that's about $4.8 million. NPV based on rates as of September 26th. So a little summary of both opportunities for refunding. Cash flow savings total about $13.1 million. And this is as of rates as of September 26th. And since that time, rates have dropped even more. But that doesn't mean they're going to stay until we do the refunding. But they have been moving in the right direction for us. And then annually, that saves about $800,000 a year in debt service. So that's about $2 on the RA. So pretty significant. And in today's dollars, it's about $11 million of that savings is today NPV after costs. So moving forward, the Federal Reserve in September lowered rates. And that's the second time they've done that this year. And there's talk about that being done again. So we'd like to be in an opportunity to take advantage of this environment. And with rates at historic lows, staff and its consultants are comfortable pursuing a taxable advance refunding, excuse me, on the 2013 A bonds, and then a tax-exempt refunding on the SRF loan. Now, the risk of waiting is that rates could increase, and then this opportunity could go away. To put it in perspective, each basis point, so that's 0.01% increase in rates, is about a drop in NPV savings of about $135,000. So the proposed team for this refunding is underwritten Goldman Sachs. We just did the short-term notes and the partial refunding using Goldman Sachs. We went to an RFP. We did that deal in June, so it's very recent. And we're paying 85 cents per bond. So we feel it's a good rate. It's been tested, and Goldman Sachs brought this to our attention. additionally using bond counsel, straddling of Carlson and Routh, and our municipal advisor, Fieldman, Roloff and Associates. Same team that did the last deal.
Can you go back to
that one?
Well, with this amount, the saving, isn't like compared to the amount, is really minimal?
So, of the, I think we're looking at the 2013A, so the savings is 11.7% of the bonds on the refunding of the 2013A, and it's less on the SRF loan, it's 3.8% of the refunded bonds. But it's such a significant dollar amount. Like I said, it's about $800,000 a year savings on the state
revolving. The sum of these two, so 0.3 plus 0.5, is 0.8 or 800,000.
Can you move forward? Because I got a little confused, because it says an increase would reduce present value only by
135,000.
That's if the rate changes between one now
basis.
And then.
One basis
point. Oh,
so
okay.
That's
if it goes down, then we'll have even more savings than what we're showing here.
The opposite would be true.
And the other little confusing thing is, and Randy went through it, but go back to the chart, Randy. But we have two different bond issuances. This one, the state revolving fund, plus this other one, the 2013A bonds. So we're taking out one, we're consolidating
okay.
these two, refinancing yes. both of those two into
merging
one.
Merging the two bonds.
Yeah.
Doing them both together, it takes advantage of our costs. We're able to,
yeah.
the same legal documents to do two refundings.
Got it.
Help increase our cost savings. So that's the team we're proposing. It's been a successful team. And with that, the recommendation is to engage Stradling, Yoka, Carlson, and Routh as bond counsel, Fieldman and Roloff as municipal advisor, and Goldman Sachs as underwriter, and authorize preparation of documents for the future issuance of tax-exempt and a taxable refunding bonds pending further action by the board.
All right, so we need a motion on that.
Just a quick question. So as we're going through considering this and having the team move forward with their proposal, do we or do they need to disclose, you know, the condition of the agency and maybe what we're looking at with respect to, you know, some of the new pressures as a result of PFAS and maybe restructuring that, all that all that information or disclosures that need to be prepared in advance, right? Yes.
We'll be drafting the official statement or the preliminary official statement, I think we're beginning next week.
Yeah, and then that will come to the board in, if we stay on schedule, we'll come to the board in November for your review and consideration.
Do we anticipate any problems as a result, any...
I don't think so. You know, you were, as you remember, the last refinancing you did, this came up at the very last moment, and there were discussions with the rating agencies, and the rating agencies reaffirmed your AAA rating at that time. So there's been additional time, additional thought, and my understanding is the district has, you know, a much better handle on how it's going to respond. So you would think that the rating agencies would not have it.
And additionally, we have to go through ratings calls again
for this
issuance.
Right, and as we discuss, like, you know, forecasting new obligations that we're going to have as a result, that's why I always, you know, I think yesterday we were talking about making sure that we concurrently talk about, well, how do we offset these and how do we anticipate these, which I think will help when it comes to these efforts or these proposals. So,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks.
Quick question. So the fees are not included in there yet, right? Because you just started to have...
These savings are net of fees.
I'm sorry?
These savings are net of fees.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Net of fees.
Thank you. Okay. Very good. I move the recommended action.
I'll second.
Director Todd?
Yes.
Director Young?
Yes.
Director Wynn?
Yes.
Director Sarmiento?
Yes.
That motion carries with 4 yes votes.
Thank you. I think that's all we have. Next, we have all informational items. Any concerns or questions about each informational items? If not, so I would like to place item number 2 up to 8 to the next board meeting.
On consent?
On consent. Meeting adjourned. Any board member? Comment? No? Okay.
The long-term debt refunding, does Connect go on consent, or does that need to be an agendized item?
In November, it will be on.
Oh, okay. I see. I understand. Okay.
Gotcha. November, when we have the documents. Gotcha. This is just to engage in
preparing
detail,
the documents.
Preparing the documentation.
And then we'll bring
it's not
that
approval.
It's okay. Not approval.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's all.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.